Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, forensic pathologist from Autopsy, Reels Channel's medical mystery series on Podcast One, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to subscribe, then go to Reels.com. That's Reels.com to find Autopsy and On Patrol Live, only on Reels Channel.
Leonard Nimoy has died. The star of Star Trek died today at his home in Los Angeles at the age of 83.
Leonard Nimoy gave life to TV's greatest alien, Star Trek's half-human, half-Vulcan, Mr. Spock.
You cannot say the word Spock without almost everybody knowing it.
I can't do it, see? You live long and prosper.
Although he spent only 3 years at the final frontier, Leonard gave his all to the series.
Spock became the foremost thing in his life.
I was Spock more than I was Leonard Nimoy.
But his constant drive to achieve started to cast a shadow.
He found it very stressful when he was working with people who didn't really care.
And the bad habits he used to cope would come back to haunt him.
Leonard told me that he was a heavy smoker. I mean, a really heavy smoker.
I would get terribly impatient that there wasn't a drink waiting for me now.
When 83-year-old Leonard Nimoy died, it was from a complex lung disorder known as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. It's a debilitating condition that attacks the lungs, but if treated, people can live with it for years. Leonard was diagnosed just 2 years before his death. So what caused the condition, and why did he die so quickly?
World-renowned medical examiner and forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter has conducted thousands of autopsies. Collaborating closely with law enforcement and other forensic specialists, his pivotal role in investigating suspicious cases has revealed the truth behind mysterious deaths for over 20 years.
Before Leonard Nimoy died from COPD in 2015, he had spent the last year of his life talking openly about his condition and raising awareness about the effects of the disease.
I get shortness of breath, and I suddenly feel like I can't get a full breath. I can't catch my breath.
COPD is a combination of progressive lung conditions, the main component of which are chronic bronchitis and emphysema. Now, chronic bronchitis is the buildup of infected mucus that blocks the airways, and emphysema occurs when the air sacs of the lungs are destroyed. These devastating respiratory diseases work together to make it difficult to breathe. So, aided by reports, interviews, and personal testimonies, I'll attempt to uncover why Leonard Nimoy died.
Spring 2013, Lake Tahoe, 21 months before his death. Leonard is with his second wife, Susan, at their much-loved vacation home in the mountains.
Perry Newman, actor and friend.
He loved that home in Lake Tahoe. He absolutely adored it. He couldn't wait to go to Tahoe. It was an escape from the crazy kind of life that he was going through. It was peace. It was peace for Leonard.
Leonard and Susan have been together for almost 26 years. And it was Susan that helped Leonard shift his focus from career to their three children.
Susan Bay was very influential in his life. He loved that woman dearly. It was like his first love. And she, to him, too, she was very much in love with him.
But in the last few years, Leonard's health has been deteriorating, and he's been finding it more and more difficult to breathe.
John DeLancey, Friend and Star Trek's Q.
Leonard had problems breathing. In studio, you could kind of hear it, and I, that's sort of when I first began saying to him, you know, hey, what is that? And he said, oh, I'm just really constricted.
As COPD advances, the airways and lungs become inflamed and thickened, and the tissue where oxygen is exchanged is destroyed. As the airways get narrower, it becomes more and more difficult to empty bad air out of the lungs. And I can see from footage of Leonard speaking at a Boston University event 1 year before his diagnosis that he's having difficulty catching his breath and clearly showing signs of a reduced lung capacity.
I was on my game. Still, I hesitated. I took my work seriously. Did I really want to put on those pointed ears?
So, I need to know what caused Leonard to struggle with his breathing in order to discover what led to his COPD.
Leonard Simon Nimoy was born on March 26, 1931, in Boston's West End. He was the second son to Max and Dora Nimoy, who were Jewish Russian emigres.
I grew up in the inner city of Boston. It was a tenement neighborhood, and we lived with my grandparents in one apartment.
We were poor, and we didn't know it, because I lived in a place which was overlooking the Charles River of Boston, which was beautiful. And Leonard lived around the corner, a place called Chambers Street. Leonard's father was my barber. That's where we met.
At 8 years old, Leonard saw The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and impersonating Quasimodo gave him his first taste of acting.
He put the pillow in his back. My name is Quasimodo, and the bell rang out, the bell rang Notre Dame. Water, water, you know. So, and I used to say to him, my impression is better than yours. He said, no, it isn't.
Leonard had found his calling, and soon joined the local theater.
They had a program of theater for children and for adults. First time on stage, I was cast as Hansel in a production of Hansel and Gretel when I was 8.
Leonard, even as a young man, he had his sight set. He was an actor. That was it. When we were 17, Leonard told me he wanted to go to Hollywood. I said, what? He said, I'm going to study a little and become an actor. I said, gee, Hollywood, wow.
Leonard worked hard, saved up, and in 1949, despite disapproval from his parents, traveled to California to make a career out of acting. But not having typical movie star looks, he struggled to get work, and eventually found his niche playing bit parts.
The roles that I was being cast in were always offbeat, nasty guys, guys who beat up people and that sort of thing, who were always in trouble.
He was the evil guy. I mean, any of us who have, you know, long foreheads and deep voices, we must be evil. So, you know, he was a character actor.
Finally, in 1952, Leonard landed his first lead role in the film Kid Monk Baroni.
What you looking at?
Nothing. What's that for nothing?
The film was a low-budget film, but whatever it was fantastic. Naturally, you say, my God, the guy starred in a Hollywood film.
Get out, both of you. I don't want to be needled. Get out!
Me buy you a drink.
Although Leonard's next major role would be light years away, he didn't stand still. He met fellow actress Sandra Zober, got married, had 2 kids, and worked any job he could find to provide for his family.
Nino, when are you going to get a job?
I got a good lead tomorrow.
As an actor, you get a job that lasts for 2 days and then you're out of work again.
He was working enough, but also driving a taxi.
But it was in 1964, 15 years after arriving in L.A., that everything changed. Leonard was asked by screenwriter and producer Gene Roddenberry to play an alien named Spock in his sci-fi pilot, Star Trek.
And I went out to California. I walked on the set, and I see this guy come out with the eyebrows up to his hair and these huge ears. I said, Leonard, I've got to tell you something. Look, you're a wonderful actor. Why are you doing this? This is a treadmill to oblivion.
Luckily, Leonard ignored his friend and put all his efforts into being Spock, the logical voice of the USS Starship Enterprise in the Star Trek series.
Random chance seems to have operated in our favor.
In plain non-Vulcan English, we've been lucky.
I believe I said that, Doctor.
Star Trek, the classic Trek, in its day, was not a hit show. It became a hit show.
Considered a ratings flop, after 3 years and 79 episodes, Star Trek was canceled. But with syndication across the world in the 70s, the show, and particularly Spock, were propelled into the stratosphere of fame.
You cannot say the word Spock without almost everybody knowing it. It's an iconic character.
Almost 10 years after Star Trek was canceled, Leonard returned as Spock in the first of many movies.
He's done many, many things, but you'll always remember him, of course, as Spock.
When Leonard Nimoy died of COPD, his lungs were so devastated by the damage caused by chronic bronchitis and emphysema that he could no longer survive without additional oxygen. As it's reported that almost 90% of COPD sufferers were smokers, the first question I need to ask is, did Leonard Nimoy smoke?
When 17-year-old Leonard moved to California to pursue his dream of becoming an actor, he also took up smoking.
It was part of my culture. It was part of my gang, my guys, the people I hung out with. It was cool to be able to light a cigarette.
It was part of the scene. And if you look at pictures of people back then, you know, 50s and 60s, all of their pictures are with a cigarette in their mouth.
At that time, everybody was smoking.
More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
By the time Star Trek was in production, Leonard was now 34 and smoking 2 packs a day.
Leonard told me that he was a heavy smoker. I mean, a really heavy smoker. He told me that there were times that he went in to take a shower with a cigarette. So, I mean, I consider that to be a heavy smoker.
I mean, Leonard smoked all the time.
Although it's hard to comprehend the thinking in the 1950s and 60s, it's now well documented that smoking causes significant damage to the lungs. The bronchial tubes are the airways that make it possible to breathe by allowing air in and out of the lungs. These tubes are lined with tiny hair-like structures called cilia that are covered in mucus which captures potentially harmful bacteria. The cilia sweep the mucus up the airways, keeping them clean. But as soon as smoke from a cigarette is inhaled, the cilia slow down and mucus starts to build up. If the mucus gets infected and the bronchial tubes become inflamed, this can cause bronchitis, a key contributor to COPD. As at one point, Leonard was smoking at least 2 packs a day. His bronchial tubes will have been badly damaged. But given time, these airways can heal. So I need to know if he ever quit smoking.
After the original Star Trek series finished, in the 70s and 80s, Leonard buried himself in work as an actor, writer, producer, and then successful director of the third Star Trek movie.
And action!
Ben Robinson, sci-fi journalist.
He then directs Star Trek IV, which is an even more successful film. He does Three Men and a Baby. You know, he suddenly has this second career, almost, as a big-time Hollywood director.
The pressures of his hectic schedule meant, despite attempts to quit in the early 80s, he couldn't break his smoking habit.
Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist.
I think the biggest part of smoking is that it becomes that security blanket. Even though it has a multitude of health risks, a lot of people don't just become physically addicted to it, become psychologically addicted to it. Lighting it and the rhythm that you go into as you smoke and how you hold it and what that does. It's almost kind of a Pavlovian response to, okay, this is my time. And I think for someone like Leonard, who's smoking since he was 17, it's very hard to kind of take that away without putting something else in its place.
The trigger for Leonard came in 1985 with the arrival of his first grandson. fear of harming him with secondhand smoke, helped him stop.
You have to treat it as an addiction and understand that it's not too early to quit.
Within just 2 weeks of quitting, research has shown that lung function can increase by up to 30%. And after 9 months, the cilia are back to full function, moving mucus out of the airways. But not all changes caused by smoking are reversible. The alveoli, which are tiny, balloon-shaped air sacs at the ends of the bronchial tree, are responsible for the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide to and from the bloodstream. When the alveoli are damaged, old air becomes trapped, leaving less room for fresh, oxygen-rich air to enter. This is the start of emphysema, and research has shown that damage to the air sacs can begin just a few years after starting smoking. So although Leonard quit 30 years before he died, it's clear that 37 years of smoking will have permanently damaged part of his lungs. And I've discovered that Leonard's drive to succeed may have left his lungs vulnerable to further damage.
And he was so identified with Spock that Spock became the foremost thing in his life.
Internationally renowned actor Leonard Nimoy personified the half-human, half-Vulcan character of Spock for over 50 years. With his tagline, "Live long and prosper," the star, who died of COPD, will never be forgotten. Now, renowned medical examiner and forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is using the death certificate and personal accounts to discover the cause of Leonard's devastating lung disease.
Leonard Nimoy died from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, a debilitating combination of bronchitis and emphysema that reduced his lung capacity to a point where he was no longer capable of breathing. I've discovered that despite being a heavy smoker for 37 years, Leonard quit almost 30 years before he died. Although smoking is a leading cause of COPD, the lungs have an incredible ability to heal. So I believe that there must be further contributing factors that led to this devastating disease.
June 2013, UCLA Hospital, Los Angeles, 20 months before he dies. After struggling to breathe at his vacation home in Lake Tahoe, Leonard is seeing a lung specialist who has put him through a series of tests.
Leonard first noticed the increased shortness of breath when he went to the altitude of his mountain home. And that's a very common story. It's something we actually recommend to people when they first show a need for oxygen, that one consideration should be moving to a lower altitude.
Leonard had previously been told that his breathing problems were due to allergies and chronic asthma. But the test results clearly show that Leonard is suffering from advanced COPD.
It's my understanding that perhaps for as long as years after his symptoms began, he was under the impression that he had other conditions other than COPD, and that that essentially delayed the correct treatment for what he was suffering from.
Even at rest, Leonard now has to work hard to breathe. So from this point on, he has to learn to live with using supplemental oxygen.
It's a very big step when someone needs supplemental oxygen. It's a visual badge that you have something going on with your lungs.
The symptoms of chronic asthma are very similar to those of COPD, so it's possible to be misdiagnosed. But Leonard's need for supplemental oxygen is a clear sign that the air sacs in his lungs are so badly damaged that his lung capacity is reduced, and he's suffering from advanced emphysema, a major contributing condition in COPD. This damage to Leonard's lungs may have been started by smoking, but lung disease can be accelerated in many different ways, one of which is stress. So I'm interested to know how Leonard managed his work-life balance.
Leonard was 34 when he landed the role of Spock on the Star Trek series. It was his first long contract, and as a man still trying to justify his career choice to his parents, it gave him financial security.
Yeah, I have to understand that prior to Star Trek, I never had a job that lasted longer than 2 weeks in any television show or movie.
Although his money worries were put on hold, the new job came with different pressures.
The way they made television in those days was particularly punishing. You know, in the first season of Star Trek, they made 29 episodes. So you're talking about working 13, 14-hour days, 5 days a week, with no real break.
The hours were long. But Leonard also put pressure on himself to truly get inside the character of Spock.
When you are playing a character, there are two ways of approaching it. One is what is wanted, and the other is what is needed. And Leonard always was thinking in those terms. Giving more than what is expected, it's also investing yourself.
I was deep inside this character for many hours each week. I'd come home, take off the makeup, grab something fast to eat, study my lines for tomorrow, and still in Spock character, and go to sleep. Wake up in the morning and bang, right into the makeup chair and back into Spock.
He said that actually during the 3 years he was making Star Trek, he was Spock more often than he was Leonard.
And he was so identified with Spock that Spock became the foremost thing in his life.
What's interesting with Leonard is that success didn't come overnight. So when the dream finally comes, we have this sense of, I need to succeed at any cost. One of the things that often happens is this kind of anticipatory anxiety. So you want this goal, but in order to achieve it, you become not just focused, but I think in some ways obsessed to the detriment of your own health or even relationships.
As well as his personal pressures, on set there was growing tension as Leonard's co-star William Shatner was unhappy that Spock was stealing his limelight.
A lot has been made of the conflict between Leonard and Bill because of Spock's growing popularity.
There was a sense of competitiveness on the set. Was my character getting too much attention?
I would get phone calls from Life magazine, from this magazine, from that magazine, saying, we'd like to come to the set, we want to do something with Mr. Nimoy, etc., etc. We kind of try to keep that down some, because Bill was the star of the show, and the second banana is getting all the attention.
Dealing with his on-screen co-star was only part of Leonard's problems. He was so invested in Spock that he was constantly battling with the writers and producers over character development.
He got very frustrated with Fred Freiberger, who was the producer on the last season, because he didn't think that consistency of character and depth of character were really that important, that it was more about making it entertaining. Leonard absolutely hated that.
I got very angry at one point because I thought the writers were being allowed to play fast and loose with certain traits of the character.
And if he saw Spock doing something that he didn't like, he would go straight down to the writers and tell them so.
Leonard was just fabulous at going, I don't need to say that. We don't need this. How about if we put this here and this there?
I wanted it better.
He certainly fought for what he believed Spock should be, and he found it very stressful when he was working with people who didn't really care.
As Leonard became ever more frustrated, he internalized a growing anger while maintaining an exterior cool.
Someone like Leonard, who is a worrier, right? We said he's got this anticipatory anxiety. He's never able to relax. On top of that, he's a perfectionist, so he's kind of micromanaging everything, dealing with that stress. He's pushing himself in every way. This is bound to have an effect on the way that his body is functioning. And this intense amount of stress and pressure and anger was actually, at least in some part, implicated in his illness.
After Star Trek was canceled, Leonard continued throughout the 70s and 80s to push himself to the limit in his work.
When he was working, he was totally immersed in it, and you can see that in the quality of what he produced. Whenever you talked to him, you knew how seriously he took everything.
By smoking, Leonard had already opened up his lungs to serious harm, but his continual stress and pent-up anger will also have had a very significant impact. When stressed, several hormones, including cortisol and adrenaline, are released into the body, enabling it to cope with a perceived or real threat. But when stress is continual or chronic, the buildup of cortisol and adrenaline works to suppress the effectiveness of the immune system. This means that the body's ability to fight off bacteria is significantly reduced, leaving the lungs susceptible to infection, which can lead to inflammation in the airways, a key factor in COPD. Leonard was clearly a very driven person, but by internalizing his emotions, it's likely that he exacerbated any lung damage that smoking had already caused. And although stress in itself can be harmful, I've learned that Leonard turned to a coping mechanism that is also known for its negative impact on the lungs.
On Patrol Live aired what may end up being the most shocking moment of the year, says Entertainment Weekly.
Responded to a report of a toddler waving a firearm.
That's absolutely tough to see.
And it's making headlines across the country.
This kid could have hurt himself or hurt a lot of other people.
Could have been a horrific, horrific situation.
Don't miss a minute, because anything can happen. On Patrol, live, every Friday and Saturday night, only on Reels.
Leonard Nimoy was famed for bringing to life the logical half-human, half-Vulcan Star Trek character, Mr. Spock. Although it was almost 50 years after Spock's first appearance that the 83-year-old actor died, he was still a universally known pop culture icon.
So far in my investigation, I found that Leonard Nimoy was a heavy smoker for 37 years, which was clearly a key factor in his death from COPD. I also know that for decades he suffered from stress and bouts of anger, both of which would have lowered his immune system and left his smoke-damaged lungs open to further infection. In addition, I have now learned that in order to deal with his rising stress, Leonard started drinking.
1966, Desilu Studios, Hollywood. Several months into filming the second series of Star Trek, Leonard's unexpected fame, along with the pressures of his non-stop shooting schedule, had started to take their toll.
Leonard talked about how he started to drink on Star Trek, where you'd get to the end of the day and you'd just be like, just bring me a drink.
It soon became routine that Leonard's secretary would fill a paper cup with alcohol, leaving it ready for him to drink as soon as filming stopped.
I never drank during the day, never drank until the work was done, but the moment the work was done, I would get terribly impatient if there wasn't a drink waiting for me now.
But Leonard's drinking was not just about the pressures at work. His commitment to a successful career meant that his family life came a clear second.
I think Leonard's marriage suffered significantly during this period, and he had difficult relationships with his kids.
Leonard was very unhappy in his marriage. And he told me later on that he wasn't the father that he was supposed to be during the Star Trek years, because he was so focused on his career at that time.
Over the years, Leonard distanced himself further from his family and would often drink alone.
Then I would drink until my head hit the pillow, wouldn't stop. Alcoholic. Clearly alcoholic.
Even in the 80s, when his directing career took off, his drinking was very much in secret.
There were many things that Leonard didn't discuss about himself, his personal life. For years, I didn't know that Leonard was drinking heavily. And I don't think there was anybody closer to Leonard than I was. I said, are you kidding?
I didn't realize it at the time, but I was clinically depressed and even suicidal. There were days when I was waking up and saying to myself, the work is great. I've achieved far more than I ever dreamed I could, and I don't know why I want to live this day.
It's well documented that alcohol abuse can have toxic effects on multiple organs in the body, including the lungs. And when combined with smoking, the problems are escalated. I've already shown that smoking slows down the cleaning process in the airways, leaving the lungs open to infection. Key to fighting off infection is an antioxidant called glutathione. But research has shown that heavy drinking reduces levels of glutathione in the lungs lining, which can lead to cell damage and ultimately cell death. These cellular changes leave the lungs vulnerable to inflammation and infection. that can lead to COPD-related illnesses like chronic bronchitis. I know that in the mid-1980s, Leonard quit smoking, but to fully understand the impact of his alcohol abuse on his lungs, I need to find out whether he ever stopped drinking.
Leonard continued drinking heavily throughout the 1980s, at a time when the Star Trek films brought a whole new raft of Spock obsession. It was only in 1989, once married to his second wife, Susan Bay, that things started to change.
Susan changed Leonard's life around. Leonard was so in love with Susan. He was much more open, and it was wonderful to see.
I professed to my wife how my life was now worth living and how happy I was. Eventually, one day, she said to me, then, why are you still doing so much drinking? And I thought, you know something, you're right. Why can't I stop? And I looked for help, and I got it.
I can see that in order to quit drinking, Leonard signed up to a program and successfully gave up alcohol 25 years before his death. But I can't ignore that his lungs will have suffered permanent damage from decades of heavy drinking, especially while smoking.
January 27th, 2014, JFK Airport, 13 months before he dies. Leonard and his wife Susan have just arrived from a vacation on the Caribbean island of St. Martin. As has become the norm in Leonard's life, superfans are waiting for him and film his arrival.
Leonard had his oxygen, of course. He's in the wheelchair, and those papers made a story about he doesn't have long to live. So I hated that, to see that. But that's what they do, you know.
The photos of Leonard spread quickly around the world, so he made the decision to talk openly about the disease and its key cause.
The damage is being done right now. Every day you light a cigarette, that you're losing cells in your lungs.
Leonard turned a negative into a positive by speaking about his illness. It was really quite remarkable.
I can see that Leonard talked openly about his COPD. His focus was on the negative impact of his smoking. But in my investigation, I've shown that COPD does not happen in a vacuum, and several other aspects of life can lead to the development of this devastating disease. And I've discovered one further passion of this very driven artist that may have had repercussions on his lung health.
And on the wall were photographs of women's breasts. And he said, "What do you think?" And I was like, "Oh my God."
On February 27th, 2015, Leonard Nimoy, the actor who brought us the much-loved character Spock, died. He was 83 years old. The medical evidence surrounding his death is being examined by renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter.
Leonard Nimoy died from COPD, a complex disease that damages the lungs so much that it becomes impossible to breathe. So far in my investigation, I've discovered that Leonard was a heavy smoker for 37 years. And although he quit 30 years before his death, the damage was done. In addition, the stress of Leonard's nonstop work ethic, bouts of anger, and his addiction to alcohol will all have had a negative impact on his lungs' ability to heal. And it's evident that by the time Leonard was diagnosed, the deterioration of his lung capacity was already significant. So within just 20 months, he'd reached end stage of the disease.
November 27th, 2014, Bel Air, Los Angeles, 3 months before he dies. Leonard and his extended family are celebrating Thanksgiving together.
Leonard, as he grew older, he realized that he wasn't the father that he was supposed to be during the Star Trek years, but he turned that around beautifully. He became a loving father and a loving grandfather, and I think his children solved their problems. Felt wonderful.
Just days after their Thanksgiving party, Leonard is admitted to the hospital, having caught pneumonia.
COPD weakens lungs to make them prone to infection, which can cause pneumonia, where the air sacs and lungs fill up with fluid or pus and become inflamed. For Leonard, whose lung capacity is already so significantly reduced by the COPD, pneumonia could prove fatal. But the medical team worked quickly to fight the infection and to reduce the inflammation.
Although cleared of the pneumonia and released from the hospital, Leonard's lungs have been further damaged, and he can barely walk 50 feet without the need for oxygen.
It was a horrible thing to behold because you see this man who is, you know, so vibrant and so alive and with that great, beautiful laugh of his, and to see him saying, it's very difficult for him to breathe, I can only take a few steps. I was shocked by that. It was terrible.
Over the next few months, Leonard is readmitted to the hospital several times.
At this stage, Leonard will have been experiencing a series of flare-ups in his lungs, known as the exacerbations. His immune system is so weak that his lungs are susceptible to infection from any virus or bacteria. These exacerbations cause further inflammation in the lungs, and the airways become blocked due to swelling and mucus production. Leonard will have been fighting to take another breath before he even exhaled his previous breath.
I remember the last time I saw Leonard. I went to his home. This was probably a month or two just before he passed. We spoke very lightly. It was kind of a cover-up for our feelings, and also to each other, in a sense. And then we said goodbye. I didn't say goodbye to him because he was in bad shape. I just said goodbye, and I'll see you later. Yeah.
February 19th, 2015. 8 days before he dies. Leonard is again rushed to UCLA Hospital. This time, he's suffering from severe chest pains.
I don't think he wanted to go on. He was in terrible pain. He wanted peace again. He wanted to get his Tahoe again.
Leonard is hooked up to oxygen and administered with medication to help him breathe and keep him comfortable.
As the lung disease has taken over, the oxygen levels in Leonard's blood will have dropped and his body will be starting to slowly shut down.
February 25th, 2015, 2 days before he dies. Leonard, along with his wife Susan and his daughter Julie, has made the decision that he no longer wants to fight the disease.
I don't know what Leonard's decisions were at the end of his life, but for a COPD patient, they'll often make the conscious decision that if their disease gets severe enough, that they choose not to be put on the ventilator.
Before letting him go, the whole family spend the day with Leonard.
Susan said everybody was there. Leonard himself wasn't fighting. He wanted to go. He felt it was time.
Having slipped into a coma, Leonard is transferred to his home in Bel Air. Then shortly after 8 a.m., on February 27th, 2015, with his family gathered around his bed, Leonard's heartbeat slows, then stops.
Leonard Nimoy has died. The star of Star Trek died today at his home in Los Angeles at the age of 83.
I remember being really shocked that he was far sicker than I thought he was. I don't know quite why I was caught off guard as much as I was, but I was.
Susan had called me and told me that Leonard had passed away, and I felt a sense of relief for Leonard. I didn't want to see Leonard suffer anymore. At the same time, of course, it was a horrible thing. I miss him dearly. I miss him to this day dearly.
As Leonard Nimoy died from COPD, it's easy to blame it on the negative things he did to his body, the smoking, the drinking, and persistent stress. But I've discovered that Leonard's lifelong hobby, which became a passion, may also have contributed to his death.
On February 27th, 2015, Leonard Nimoy, the actor who introduced the world to Mr. Spock, died from COPD at the age of 83. Expert forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter has been investigating the case.
Years of smoking, stress, and alcohol abuse will have played a huge part in Leonard's death. But environmental factors can also impact on lung health. And there is one further aspect to Leonard's life that I believe may have exacerbated the acceleration of his COPD.
When I first went over to Leonard's house, on the wall were photographs of women's breasts. And he said, "What do you think?" And I was like, "Oh my God, they're nice."
In the 1990s, Leonard stepped back from his incessant work schedule and turned his focus to a lifelong passion.
I have two current projects. One is enjoying my life thoroughly, where I'm not so obsessed with work. I am, on the other hand, very interested in photography, always have been.
Having learned to develop his own photos at the age of 13, Leonard spent the rest of his life in pursuit of the perfect image.
I'd love to make that product. I'd love to make images. And I dream about images. All my images are done with traditional black and white film. I do all my own lab work, my own developing, my own printing.
He had this tremendous series of photographs, Rubenesque women, nude, in groups and so forth. And artistically, it was just beautiful.
The photography is professional fine art photography. It's not just someone who has a hobby. This is staged, carefully lit. I don't think he did anything frivolously or half-heartedly.
When he had a passion for something, he really approached it fully and devoted himself to it.
It's well documented that there are several toxic chemicals and irritants used in the home photography development process. And some of the most damaging in terms of lungs are found in both the developing and fixing solutions. Although relatively harmless to the touch, if either sodium sulfite or sodium thiosulfate are heated or stand long enough to start decomposing, they form the highly toxic sulfur dioxide, which, if inhaled, can cause chronic lung injury. I can see that in the last 10 to 15 years of his life, Leonard stopped using his darkroom and switched to digital photography. But as he spent several decades developing his own photos, I can't ignore that the chemical fumes could have aggravated his already weakened lungs and contributed to the slow development of his COPD.
After examining all the evidence, Dr. Michael Hunter can now reveal how he believes Leonard Nimoy died.
In the last few days of his life, Leonard was admitted to the hospital because he could no longer breathe without access to a constant oxygen supply and the need for 24-hour palliative care. Knowing that his time was limited, he had already made the difficult decision that when he was ready, his oxygen supply should be turned off. Once he was no longer taking supplemental oxygen, Leonard's lungs will have been unable to receive enough oxygen to supply his bloodstream. And as blood delivers oxygen to every part of the body, cells soon start to die and Leonard's organs will have slowly ceased to function. With a lack of oxygen feeding his brain, Leonard will have slipped into a coma. And over the next 24 hours, his body shut down completely, allowing him to quietly slip away. As a medical examiner, it's all too often that I witness the damage done by smoking. And although Leonard quit almost 30 years before his death, it's evident that decades of smoking, chronic stress, and heavy drinking, along with the fumes from darkroom chemicals, damaged his lungs to such an extent that they could never fully recover. In addition, as a natural part of growing older, lung function declines and the immune system weakens, both of which would have left Leonard's damaged lungs even more vulnerable to COPD. But at 83 years old, Leonard lived a full and successful life. and without his determination to succeed and his drive for excellence, we may never have encountered such an enigmatic alien as Spock.
I think Leonard would take a great deal of pleasure out of being thought of as an actor's actor. I mean, after all, he did a terrific job. He did a terrific job.
Although we don't get to talk to Leonard anymore, all those performances are still there. Spock has achieved a status of iconicness that is almost impossible. So losing him is a real sort of moment in modern pop culture.
The best way to describe Leonard is that he's a mensch. That's a Jewish word for a guy who has responsibility to his family, to his friends, and at the same time loves his work. He was the best.
What do you want on your gravestone? You're approaching the pearly gates. What do you want to hear God say? You know, I hate those questions. They're impossible. They're impossible. How do I want to be remembered? I'd like my family to remember me lovingly. That's enough.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autopsy. Don't forget to subscribe at Podcast One, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com. That's Reelz.com for extras from the TV version of the series, plus programs like On Patrol Live that you'll find only on Reels Channel. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.